out. Okay, folks, this is the Brett Whiteley studio, and you can see out the front of the Brett Whiteley studio there is a very smaller version of the matchstick that you might have seen through the window in the studio where we were in the art gallery. Just come a bit closer over here. So we're going to have a talk in here by the curators who actually knew Brett Whiteley, and this is Brett Whiteley's studio where he worked. He lived over in Lavender Bay for a while, and then he bought this warehouse and had his studio. He had one major exhibition in this studio. And on the sheets that you've got, which it's worth pulling out again, if anybody doesn't have them, I've got a couple of spares in here. Does anybody want a spare?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There is a spare. Anybody else need a spare? Any other spares needed? So, with Brett, I mean, Brett Whiteley, aside from the fact that Brett Whiteley references William Blake in this painting in a very curious way, but seems to indicate that William Blake was obviously a real germinating seed of creative imagination for him, because what we've got in this painting is Brett Whiteley looking through a magnifying glass down to Blake's grain of sand, which is at the bottom, a tiny inconspicuous thing at the bottom. So I would like to think that Brett Whiteley's whole visionary imagination, and he's a very visionary artist in the sense that, you know, he's committed to using his imagination, his visual imagination, to respond to the whole global situation and his life in particular. I mean, this painting that we're looking at is called Alchemy, and alchemy means transformation. And it's an autobiographical painting. And he spent a year or more painting this work on huge panels, and it depicts the stages of his life story from his moment of conception. It's a very graphic picture of his parents having sexual intercourse, and then his emergence and the things that influenced him his life, all the artists and the writers that influenced him, and eventually a celebration, if that's the right word, of a ritual suicide by one of the most famous Japanese authors, who completed his last work and then committed a ritual suicide. But in the context of Brett Whiteley's own life, it's almost like a depiction of his own demise and his own transformation, because, you know, he, as you may or may not know, he died of a heroin overdose in his 40s, and he was, you know, he was one of Australia's most well-known, beloved artists, and yet he went down the path of drugs and overdoses, and, you know, he had so much fame, I suppose that's one of the problems, that was an instrumental in short-circuiting his life. Let me just quickly go through these questions here that are worth keeping in mind as you both listen to the lecture and then as you have a closer look at the panels. And not only the panels, the studio is full of artifacts of his works, his interest in Patti Smith, and so on and so forth. So the questions, two larger questions, describe and contrast what it is that Blake and Whiteley see in four Blake plates, from The Marriage of Heaven and Hell and from Blake's engravings. Those first two are actually essay questions that I gave last year, but I thought it's worth having those just in your mind as a reference point for things that we're looking at. Here they are, the two people we've been naming and looking for the last three people. For hours we've been looking for Daniel and Jacob and who's this other little
kid? Jacob, mate.
Yeah. Julia. Okay. So from this description and contrast, speculate on what seeing means for Blake and Whiteley. Now, seeing, to cleanse the doors of perception. That's the key theme, if you like, of today. Cleansing the doors of perception. In the Job paintings, we've seen a sustained narrative of how Job's perception was gradually cleansed from the word that killeth through to a representation of the divine in the whole physical universe, including himself. In Brett Whiteley, we see an affirmation of all those things that perhaps are, you know, kept out of the main line of discussion. His openness to nature, his openness to sexuality, his openness to what's happening in the political world and his effort to transform that. The whole work underpinned by alchemy and underpinned by his passion for literature and words as well as painting. Now you're going to see text all over this thing, and the text is really important. There's some great things in there that you can purchase in their little bookshop, but I've put a fair bit of it online. I've even put, I think, his notebooks up online. Don't tell anybody. Why do you think Whiteley presents Blake's grain of sand in the way that he does? Question three, is this depiction of the artist himself seeing Blake's grain a comment on seeing itself, on what can and can't be seen? Question four, how well does Whiteley describe details in nature? What feeling does he evoke through his use of colour and his brushstroke? He's a fantastic nature artist. He's depicted the Australian lyrebird like no one else I know. You know, the lyrebird is a ventriloquist and can imitate thousands of sounds. This is a picture of a lyrebird you've never seen like it before. He was a wonderful nature artist, so he loved the physical world as well as the cosmic and the, you know, the metaphysical world. What impression does Whiteley give of Patrick White in his cottage? Well, we're doing Patrick White next week. There's a picture of Patrick White stuck in his little cottage in Castle Hill. Have a close look at that and see what you make of it. What are some of the things that Whiteley really hates? How does he depict this hate? What colours does he use? What brush strokes? What images? Are some of these horrific things Whiteley's hell? I mean, there's, you know, we just saw hell in Blake's plate number 11. Look at Whiteley's hell. What makes up his hell? I think it's right in the middle next to the big word it. Two big letters, it. What does it mean? Is this it? Is this it? Is it describing the whole painting? It? It is. Anyway, that's for you to think about. What panel in the painting attracted your interest most strongly? Can you describe the feeling that it produces in you? These are all possible blog questions, by the way. Is the meaning of a work of art like this as much in the feeling as in the thinking that it produces in the observer? What is Whiteley's attitude to sex? How can we read attitude in a painting? What sense do you make of the writings that are part of this art world, including IT? Let's go, folks. I think the man stuck his head out of the door. He was looking for a crowd like us.